Part two.
Part two.
Yes, part two. So what's your favorite quote from nature, from him? I know, because you're the one who actually introduced me to John. Actually, you and Tom introduced me to John Muir.
Well, for me, and I have to say for Tom too. In fact, Katie made us did a drawing.
I already know which one it is.
It's take me home to the mountains.
Oh, hey there.
And that's just for Tom and I. That is what resonates. Take me home to the mountains. And we, you know, he's retired now. And we're talking about what kind of changes do you make? Do you move? I said, where else can we go? I go, Tom, honestly, if you moved, what would matter to you? And he said, beauty, the mountains. And we both agreed, the mountains.
Yeah.
So John Muir, he said it, take me home to the mountains. And, you know, he loved Yosemite, and Yosemite is the mix of both this deep, beautiful valley floor that looks up to this crazy, outrageous, you know, rocks, half dome, and
bell
cap, and creating all these amazing waterfalls. And But John Muir had a heart in the mountains, in the forest. And so anyways, he's got a million quotes you could find. But that honestly is one of the dearest to Tom and I's heart. Take me home to the mountains. So, anyways.
He has another one that's really good.
Tell me. Come on, bring it.
I just love his quotes. Oh, these vast, calm, measureless mountain days. Days in whose light everything seems equally divine, opening 1,000 windows to show us God.
Woo! That is awesome.
Opening 1,000 windows to show us God.
Right?
I mean, who? That is so true. It's so true. I love that one, though. Take me home to the mountains. I'm just like, it just makes me want to get on a plane and go to Yosemite right now.
Right?
Because I know it's probably just covered in white.
Oh yes. We've had a nice, not just dusting, but we've had the storms coming through. We have had the storms coming through. It's gorgeous in the winter. Well, you know, shoot, you've been taking some pictures there in the winter.
I've been taking pictures in the winter and
spring.
just recently, springtime, right?
Yep.
May with the dogwoods.
Yep.
That's the first, like, honestly, this is why I love visiting parks, because they're so different in the different seasons.
Yep.
It's like I'm seeing a different, completely different park
every time. Yep.
Every time. And I still haven't even seen the entire park.
No.
That's what's so crazy.
I think Tom still has some secret places to take you.
Yeah, I know. I'm all about that. I am so all about that. But yeah, no, this is for people to fall in love with nature, to kind of get back to the origin of, you know, how we were created.
Yeah.
Created out of dust.
Yep.
And to get back to that, to get back to, I don't know, get centered again, get, you know, shed some things, leave some things on top of the mountain.
Yeah.
That's what I was able to do during that week.
Yeah.
Just leave some stuff there.
Good.
That I didn't take with me, you know, I didn't take back with me.
Yep.
It's about creating space to explore the outdoors. I don't know. So, yeah. That's what this is about.
Yeah. You know, it's when I was in college, I was studying literature from the Romantic period. Anyways, Wordsworth is an author that's pretty well known, but he had this one poem that started out saying, "Up, up, my friend, and quit your books." And the whole poem is about pulling you away from staying indoors, keeping your nose in a book and not seeing the beauty around you. And at the end, he says that nature never did betray the heart that loved her. Nature never did betray the heart that loved her.
Yes.
And I feel like for that, when I watched, honestly, just in as an observer, the ladies this last summer, every single place we took them, and we lingered, and we gave them some time. It was cool because I kept having that quote: "Nature never did betray the heart that loved her," because they opened up to what the beauty had to offer. They opened up to what God had put in creation to reach them right where they were at. Mm-hmm. Whether it was on the top of that crazy vast place that overlooked all of Yosemite. What was the name of that rock?
Sentinel Dome.
Sentinel Dome.
Yep.
Whether it was there or whether it was in the valley looking up at Bridal Veil Falls and feeling the mist on their face.
Yeah.
Or trudging along to come into the beautiful view of Camp Lake. Mm. And then over the next couple rounds to where we could see Bear Lake. And each of them so different. It's like we were
going. Oh, gosh, yeah.
But watching their hearts and their faces and their experience, it was awesome because they had to quit whatever was pulling them away from getting that space and time. Mm-hmm. So that even though they were it was a small group. Mm-hmm. It has to be small to be quality.
Yeah.
There's not a lot of spots.
Agreed.
But the price they paid to quit. When I say quit, I don't mean, you know what I'm saying. Quit your books.
Yeah, yeah.
Walk away from the hustle and bustle and demands of everyday life. So you can make room for God to speak to your heart. Make room for maybe tender places that you didn't even know were there, aching for his affection and kindness to touch you. Mm-hmm. And whether it was the amazing stars at 4 o'clock in the morning. Or the still water.
Yeah. Yeah.
It just. So it was awesome for me to see these ladies, each one, get their own, what their needs were met.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And really what you did, Issa, was you set the stage so God could do that, so they could come, be safe, leave their worries behind, know they're going to be taken care of, and be all in, so they could get everything that they had need for, everything God had prepared for them. Mm-hmm. And I honestly don't think that it was just like, okay, thanks, and wrap it up tight in a bow, and you're done. But I feel like at least my communication and observations with each one has been that it's been a gift that's kept on giving.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. I agree. I've heard from everyone that was there, keep in contact. And for sure it was definitely probably when they look back at this year, they'll remember that those days. I know I do.
Tom and I as well. We just absolutely loved every single second of it.
Yeah.
It was funny because Tom wasn't sure, like, are those guys going to be okay with me being there? All the ladies and the man. And it was so cool to see. He was like this, he was like the support, the little invisible supporter, little guardian angel. And and he, when he had something to share that would bring insight or highlight something or give us new eyes or new ears.
Yeah.
It just expanded our experience, but not all the ladies seemed like they all said on more than one occasion how they were not uncomfortable with Tom. In fact, they enjoyed him.
Yeah. No, totally. And Tom has that kind of quality about him.
Yeah.
Like, I trust that man. Like, with my life, obviously.
Yeah. Well, he's got a servant's heart and he doesn't like to draw attention to himself. So,
yeah, no, he's great. He was great that week and definitely added to the experience and relieved me of some stuff too, you know, mm-hmm. so that I could focus on other things. And
mm-hmm.
So it was an awesome week. I can't wait for next year. It's going to be awesome. And it's life changing for sure.
I remember, I'm sorry, I just totally segued into a different thing and you changed
it
back, but I remember leading up to it that the ladies, even that had signed up, they kept wanting to know more details about what was going to take place. And you wouldn't give because, I mean, that was the beauty of God ordering every single day. In fact, every single moment. But you kept, you know, seeing pictures and talking about, you know, here's the basic stuff you need to bring. But that question, like a lot of people want to know what to expect exactly. So they can prepare. And you know, that sounds like a Boy Scout rule, be prepared or something like that. But the reality was that would shut down and actually develop some preconceived ideas.
Yes.
And I just loved, because I was watching it unfold and I thought, I'm just trusting Issa in her leadership. Because I saw you not give all the answers.
Yeah.
And part of that's because you hadn't put anything in concrete.
No. And honestly, I didn't know
right.
a lot of things.
Right.
I was kind of just like, I just knew that I needed to set aside this time to do this trip, to see these places.
Mm-hmm.
And that's about it.
Yeah. And so I love that they still came.
Yeah.
You know, even with the element. And that's where I think that my heart keeps landing on this. It's safe. And they didn't have to be afraid, because there's anxiety when you don't know everything.
Oh gosh, yeah.
And just to say it's okay. It really was beautiful to see how I think that each of us, even the leadership like you and Tom and I, just each day brought the beautiful wonder and awe of, wow, look what God did. Mm-hmm. We sit around that campfire and we're like, look what God did. Look what God did.
Mm-hmm.
And each heart and each, and it was like so good not to have a script.
Yeah, I didn't. Neither did you.
No.
I mean,
we
did not.
It was so good not to have a script, not to have the agendas.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so there's a tiny bit of unknown and element, and that can bring a little bit of anxiety, but it's nice to just say you don't have to.
And it's like fear is a manipulative emotion
yeah.
because it tricks us into living a life of boredom.
Mm-hmm.
And the greatest things happen when we don't give in to fear.
Yeah.
And
it's really good.
So.
Well, it was interesting, Issa. I was listening to an author be interviewed for a book, and it was about a new psychology on happiness and what people think they need to be happy.
Hmm.
And one of them is no pain, no fear, no, you know, like, and you'd have to live in a bubble and not grow. You'd be static, stale,
that's
stagnant. Some people, it's like, if I just is a new job, it's a new this, it's a new that. So they had like 10 or 7, I can't remember the number. You know, I'm driving in these mountains, so radio signals come in and out. But the one and the only thing that they came up with that was reliable, because happiness, you can have temporary happiness. I want that new boat. You got it. Awesome. Now you have to pay the bills and you have to clean it every time you go in and every time you go out. And by the way, you have to fix it when it's broken. And anyways, and then you have to buy the equipment.
So then happiness kind of drains away, or, you know, the novelty wears off, but the happiness that people are looking for is the sustainable, the real. And they said the only thing that, and because the interviewer is going, tell me, what, where is there anything that is going to fit? Even though we have, he called it delusional, or a delusional happiness is what people think are going to make them happy, but really won't. But he said the one thing is awe and wonder. And that, he said, and I'm listening, my mouth was hanging open, and I'm thinking of you, and I'm thinking of Dirt Princess, and I'm thinking of what God did last summer at Dirt Princess. And he says, and this is what we've found in all the studies, that awe and wonder, the one consistent place to find it is in nature.
Whoa.
Because that, honestly, is where God shows off.
And, oh, yeah.
And the heavens declare, right? You can find verse after verse. You don't need the Bible to tell you God is in it, because you walk out there and you're like, whoa.
Yeah.
But awe and wonder is the core, unconditional, like the stable, real deal happiness, awe and wonder. And the one of the consistent places that you can find it, that people discover it, is in nature.
Yeah.
Isn't that wild? And it's not, it's not just limited to mountains. I know that. I mean, I frankly, I look at your photography and I'm like, well, that's obvious. mountains aren't the only place. It may be my favorite. Maybe my favorite. But it's, I mean, and as you described how you felt in your personal experience with the Northern Lights.
Yeah.
That was awe and wonder.
Yeah.
And I just, but I remember hearing that. And I just went, wow, the new psychology of happiness. Trying to figure out what's going to really make people happy and get them out of depression and keep them, because the growing issues in America, particularly of people that are not finding any happiness, and they are hopeless, and they're downtrodden with life, and they're reaching for things that really don't make them happy in the long run.
Yeah.
Anyways.
Yeah. That's so good. What, who was that?
I don't know.
Oh my gosh.
You know, details about, I could pay attention, and I heard his name.
Oh gosh.
I remembered the quote, and
I love it.
I remembered the quote, and I remembered the message of it, but I didn't remember the name. I don't even know who the interviewer guy was. I don't know whose show it was. I've never heard this guy before in my life.
Oh gosh.
And I was probably trying to listen so I could find out where the chain controls were. But
good Lord.
Our little local talk news station, talk radio.
I don't know.
Oh, details, I don't know.
Oh my gosh. That's so funny.
Yeah, sorry, I can't give credit where credit's due.
Oh no.
I don't feel bad.
I don't feel bad. Oh gosh, that's hilarious. Okay, well, that's awesome though. Mm-hmm. That's crazy. All right, so is there anything else we want to say?
Well, I mean, I can be really practical and functional. I'll turn my silly, not silly, but anyways, just really practical and you know, obviously stating that it's safe and that things are all going to be taken care of, so you don't have to worry about where you're going to stay or what you're going to eat, or, you know, the necessities of life. Look for the bare necessities. Oh, sorry. if you're listening to this podcast, honestly, and you're thinking, okay, what do I do? What's next? How do I get involved? Or if you think, I would never do this,
ever. But I have a friend that's that crazy, so I'm gonna tell her about it. The reality is, this is December, and
that's your phone.
Yeah, it's probably a telemarketer because nobody ever calls that phone. Yep, toll free.
I'm like,
bye bye.
Bye bye.
Anyways. I hung it up. I answered it and hung up. What? Uh-oh.
You can hear it. I was going to say.
You can hear the room of telemarketers.
Can you take me off your list, please? Thank you.
Oh, my gosh. I don't know how to do this, but.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, wait. Let me go in your room. I was in your room. Cora comes in. She goes, why are you in Issa's room?
Oh, Cora.
Oh, in your little chair where you sit and she'd come and get a hug from you.
Oh my gosh, I have a room in their house. That's hilarious.
Well,
this is what happens when you live a nomadic life. Kyle, you have, I have a room in Mona's house. I have a room in Danny's house.
Yeah. So funny. Anyways.
Oh my gosh, that's so funny.
So, okay, where was I? Oh, I know. So this is December.
Yeah.
And when I said this is a small group, it really is a small group, and it's not trying to be exclusive, trying to make, it's really meant to protect the experience for everybody. So
absolutely.
If you do think that you're interested, and if there's something tugging you, like, okay, I'm willing to take a risk. I'm willing to get uncomfortable, or maybe it's what I need. Maybe I've been looking for something and this can help me.
Yeah.
I don't know. Everybody I felt like came with a different reason that came last year.
Oh yeah,
and
for sure.
And I, one of the things that I love is that Issa, I'm just going to say this. I'm going to talk like you're not in the room. Well, you're really not in the room, but
<I'm> not. You're in California and I'm in Texas.
Right. But honestly, I never saw Issa try to persuade anybody, because if you don't want to do it, then don't do it.
Yeah.
The last thing you want to do is be forced into something. And so that's not what Issa's heart is. It's like when we did that Joshua Tree inaugural get out there.
Yeah.
We just wanted to be there and
I cooked that weekend.
You sure did. It was yummy.
That was so fun.
Okay, the Hall of French Toast was the best. Okay, so yes. Okay. Wait, I digress. Anyways, what I'm gonna say is it's a small number, and we realized that's one of the things we did know is that the number had to stay small.
Yeah.
So there's a limited number of seats, and the momentum of this is because the word's already out there and the people are already talking. And that's different than the first Dirt Princess, because people hadn't seen anybody come out of it.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just going to encourage you, if you think you would like to whatever, talk to whoever you have to talk to. Don't wait too long to make a move.
Because at the turn of the year, unfortunately we'll have to raise the prices because things are going to be harder to book. And so because of the places that we're going to be staying, they get booked out pretty fast.
I just did some research, just so you know.
Oh, great.
And awesome. You're right. That's what I'm gonna say. You're right.
So the next couple weeks I will be not even next couple, probably right after I get off with you, I'm gonna have to look into some Yosemite stuff and make sure that we get what we need
and what we want.
And so it's going to be imperative that people either hold their spot just pay the full amount or whatever the June 2nd through the 9th Dirt Princess experience. So I agree. So you could, if this is something that you I don't know, that maybe it's something that you have like, okay, I think I want to go ahead and do this. You can go to dirtprincesslife.com and reserve your spot for the next experience next year. I was going to say something, but I'm not going to say it. I'm going to say it. We are looking at some other places to do a Dirt Princess trip, maybe in Norway. And so I'm talking to some friends out there about it, and a particular tour company to see about hosting something out there to see and experience the Northern Lights. So that's kind of still working out a lot of the details with that. One of my tour guides is actually in Antarctica right now. So I've been like messaging him, and he's like, yeah, I'm in Antarctica working for the next month or whatever. I was like, that's special. I will put up an update as soon as I know more details. But seriously, this is Mona said, it's a small group, and there's a lot of reasons for that. This isn't about packing it out and getting as many people in registered as. This is more about having the right experience and making sure that people are taken care of, and that's more important for us than getting 30 people in reserves for the spot or whatever. Mm-hmm. So that's not what this is about. So it's important that we keep it small and stuff. So I'm excited. I'm so excited to start, really looking into this week and what we're gonna do and all of that. So anything else, Momo?
I realized I keep referring to my husband, Tom.
Yeah.
And I haven't said much about him and people who got to be on the team, on the Dirt Princess life mm-hmm. experience, got to know him. But mm-hmm. I don't know if you want to say, I mean, it sounds weird. We have a man, we have this guy. I know. That's funny. I just said this guy, but really guide. Kind of a mountain guide who's had so much experience. So just briefly, Tom and the mountains, and his family cabin is in the mountains, and they've had that since 1929. And his dad was a Boy Scout leader, and Tom did a ton of stuff as a kid in the mountains. Mm-hmm. And then as an adult, he graduated from UC Davis in California and hiked the Pacific Crest Trail, which is Mexico to Canada, 2,700 miles. And a thousand of those miles were by himself. But he is mountain man, loves the mountains. And
absolutely.
And besides that, being a teacher 36 years, like I said, he took his eighth graders into Yosemite for 3 days to just help them see it and know it, know what they were looking at, point out really mm-hmm. awesome things, and help them to get places they never ever pictured they could go or things that they could do. And in our days together, we've taken our kids camping. When I say camping, I mean like putting a backpack on and hiking a mile and a half into the quarry where the Sword Lake is beautiful. It's not a hard hike. It's just a beautiful hike. In fact, this summer, Eliana, our granddaughter, 5 years old, Noah took her. It was a daddy-daughter hike into Kennedy Lake, and it was beautiful. And she was able to pull that off, this little five-year-old. Yeah. So I just
Tom knows how to guide at at levels that are appropriate and safe and good, but he guides out of a love for nature, a love for the creation, and also to care about people. Mm-hmm. And his core motivation is he's a servant, and he's a quiet man who loves well. So he's not an assertive personality. And I just want to say that about him, so you understand that his role isn't like an authoritative guy who's going to show you what he knows.
No, this guy is.
Does that make sense, Issa?
Yeah. No, he's also gone on bike trips from Canada down to San Francisco.
Yeah.
I mean, this guy is he's like the epitome of a mountain man, in my opinion. Yeah. And is the right guy to help facilitate our overnight backpacking and our time in the national park Yosemite. So this and he's one of these days we'll do another hiking. I'll do another hiking trip with him because I definitely want to go out and do longer hikes, backpacking trips and stuff. So, but I mean, he's my go-to guy when it comes to hikes. I mean, we spent a lot of time in REI talking about gear and talking about gear and when to buy it and when not to buy it. What do I absolutely need? And so he's helped me really understand a lot of things when it comes to, you know, camping, backpacking, and all of that. And so this is why he's a part of our team and a part of this experience, because he has the experience, you know, having hiked the Pacific Crest Trail over a 6-year period and he hiked the John Muir Trail twice.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and he started when he was really young with his dad. He was Boy Scout, you know, and so this man knows his stuff, and he's like the Superman of personal hiking guide. I'm so blessed to have him be a part of this, and I can't wait to sit down in the coming year and really dig through and look at maps and figure out, you know, what's the best course to take for this next trip. It might not be what we did last year, and so I'm excited, you know. I'm excited. Definitely excited. So yeah, Tom will be a part of this. Mona will be a part of this. I obviously will be there. It'll be a great time. So yeah, anything else?
Yeah. This is the phrase that just came to my heart, so I'm just gonna say it. Give the gift to yourself. Give the gift to yourself. That's not coming from a heart that wants to persuade anybody. But the transformations that I was able to see this last summer, and even that I've been able to see in Issa, myself, my own kids' lives, and others, give the gift to yourself. It's worth it.
Yeah.
So that would be the last thing I'd have to say.
I love you.
I love you, Issa.
I'm gonna visit dirtprincesslife.com, and we only have one trip up on that site right now, and that's the June 2nd through the 9th. That's how many days? What, 7 days, 7 nights, 8 days, something like that. So we're so excited, so excited.
Yeah. Super excited. Super.
Super. Super. Oh my
gosh. Oh, and have I got a new story for you?
Really?
Yes.
Tell me.
No.
What do you mean no?
No, I'm not telling you the story till the right time.
What?
But I got it. That's all I'm going to say.
Okay.
Really, this is the last thing I'm saying.
No, go ahead, tell me.
No, I'm not telling you. I'm just telling you. I found an amazing story, and I was like, gold. This is it.
Oh, like a book?
Yeah.
Oh, yes. Like a children's book?
I'm not telling you anymore.
Well, you just kind of sort of did.
Yeah. Well, that's all.
Okay.
Okay.
All right, so I'll end with a couple quotes. This is from Elizabeth Gilbert, Big Magic, creative living beyond fear. Living a life that is driven more strongly by curiosity than fear.
Ooh,
that's quote number one.
I like that.
You like that
mm-hmm.
one? Yeah, it's a good one. let's see. Ooh. Here's one that's more of a question, and we'll end with this. So my friends, do you have the courage to bring forth the treasures that are hidden within you? I sure hope so.
Wow.
All right.
All right.
Well, this has been awesome. Thank you, Mona, for jumping on and talking with us and sharing your story.
Mm.
And talking about Dirt Princess, and I appreciate you. And I'm gonna call you and figure out what story you're talking about, because.
Well, thank you, Issa, and thank you, Issa, from the bottom of my heart. And I'm gonna speak for the ladies that were there this last summer, and for Tom. Thank you for all the sacrifice and effort you put into this, to have a heart to provide a platform and opportunity like this. That's life-changing. Thank you for the hard work and the attention to detail. And honestly, I saw hours and hours and hours. And what I didn't see, I know there were more hours and hours and hours. And and so I want to say thank you. Thank you for doing this. Thank you for taking risk. And mm-hmm. and thank you for saying yes. I appreciate
yes.
it. And I know everybody else is grateful too.
Awesome. Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. All right, guys. We'll talk to you soon. Bye-bye now.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye now.
Bye-bye now. I love you.
I love you too. Thanks, Issa.
Thank you.
Okay.
Bye.